Welcome to Transform Now, a podcast focused on intelligent automation and brought to you by SS&C Blue Prism. On this program, we talk about how organizations globally are rethinking the way they operate, utilizing process orchestration and AI-enabled digital workers to free up humans to do the work that matters most. We also share insights and tips on how you can embrace this new way of working and unleash your full potential. Let's get into the show.
Hello, everyone. Brad Hairston here. Welcome to Transform Now. Thrilled to have as my guest today, Manoj Agrawal, the CIO of Tetranoodle, a consulting company focused on business innovation and digital transformation. Manoj is also an author. He's a top voice on AI in the social media realm, and he hosts an extremely successful podcast. Manoj, welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Thank you so much. Excited to be here. I basically grew up in India, wanted to change my life because I grew up in a small town and with not a lot of opportunity, not a lot of resources. And I found technology to be my savior and sort of help me change my life. But interestingly enough, as I was sort of focused on improving my life, I found technology is a conduit to help so many other people. I mean, literally, I could write a line of code on my computer and give it to hundreds of other people and it helped them. And that was like amazing. And the other thing is I'm an introvert and I prefer talking to machines more than I prefer talking to humans. So it worked out really good. And I found it a lot of fun. Like technology has been really good to me. I have been really successful with it, helped millions of people, generated hundreds of millions in value for clients like Microsoft, IBM, T-Mobile, and whatnot. But along the way, I had a lot of fun. So that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's funny because I do a lot of speaking like you. I host a podcast like you. And when I take all those personality tests, I come up as an introvert as well. So that's a really interesting observation there. Manoj, there are so many people today that are talking about AI, many of whom are considered gurus in the space. You are clearly a bona fide expert. I didn't mention in your intro, but I saw that you also have some patents in AI and machine learning. So that's very impressive. What would you say you are most passionate about in the area of artificial intelligence?
I'll just share a few incidents related to those patents. And these were new inventions, obviously. So with the very first one was personalized learning. So we did a lot of work in the education sector, building technology for schools and colleges and universities. And one of the products that we worked on was to give a personalized lesson plan to students in a same classroom. So today, every classroom has about 40, 50 students in it, and everybody gets the same curriculum. But we know that some people are ahead, some people are behind. And so how do we cater to each one of them? And one single teacher, even if they are assisted with teaching assistants, they cannot provide personalized experience to everyone. So with AI, we were able to tap into their mind and say, okay, this person doesn't need that much hand holding, so they can skip ahead. And this person needs a little bit more material to go through. So that opened really my eyes that AI and the human mind has a continuum that is like an invisible continuum. And we can build bridges between our human thinking capacity, intellectual capacity, and AI. And then as I started going further into it, I got into meditation. I had an episode in my life where I went through a dark period and I became suicidal and I needed to get out of that experience and meditation helped me. Once I went into meditation, I started learning about the inner workings of human mind, psychology, how our emotions control our life and all of that. And once again, I found a huge continuum between AI and our emotional side of things. And that's what we see with social media these days and all of that. Like started to all make sense in how AI and humanity is interacting with each other already. I mean, this I'm talking about like 2006, 2007. And so that is, those realizations were really, really powerful in that this technology has the power to shape our lives, to generate trillions of dollars. And it is already here in many, many, many aspects of our life. So the idea is to harness it in a way that is useful to other people, build a better future for our kids and whatnot, right?
Agreed. So tell us about Tetranoodle. What do you guys bring to the market?
So basically what we are providing is human intelligence plus artificial intelligence. A lot of people don't know, first of all, where to get started with AI, where they can get the best bang for the buck. Then they face a lot of challenges in terms of resistance from their teams in how AI is going to change their company. People are worried about their own job security, all of that. So what we do is we help people shape their AI strategy in such a way that they can take small steps towards that fully digital enterprise that is going to be the norm in the next few years, like 3 or 4 or 5 years. Pretty much every company will absolutely have to become a digital AI run company. Otherwise, they will lose out on competition. So how do you draw that straight line, that path towards that is what we do. And then not only like give them the strategy, but actually help them implement through our engineering and whatnot, implement all those steps and bring them to this promised land of AI-enabled companies.
Okay, so take that a little bit further, if you will, and talk about the steps you recommend for companies to help them catch up if they are truly lagging behind their peers in the AI area.
I think the very first thing, again, is the mindset. A lot of people have this mindset, okay, it will come, it's not going to affect me, you know, we'll see in 5 years what happens. But that's the mindset, like, where they need to understand the urgency. What is happening is AI itself is generating new solutions now. So we are on an exponential hockey path curve where innovation is assisted, if not driven by AI now. So human intelligence is no longer a limiting factor in innovation. So urgency is there. Secondly, taking baby steps. As I said, most people get lost in this big, complex sort of vision of everything digital, everything AI. But I tell them, okay, that big vision needs to be broken down into small steps. So understand where you are spending most of your time, like any business, take telecom, education, real estate, healthcare, anywhere, 80% of the results are produced by 20% of the effort. And that's the principle with everything in life. But the thing is, 80% of that effort that does not produce a lot of results can be automated, can be offloaded to machines. So that's where we start to focus on and then chip away at all the drudgery of work, as we call it. We have to do it. But if we offload all that to AI, not only our work becomes more pleasant, it's more fun, more productive, and we add to the bottom line in a way that we have not seen in hundreds of years now.
And Manoj, as you work with these companies and try to get them on the right path, what's one huge misperception about AI that you often find is out there?
I'll say two things, right? Not one. One is obviously jobs, like it's going to replace jobs. So I tell them that AI is not going to replace somebody, but somebody who understands AI will replace that somebody. Like it's not about the losing your job, but somebody who knows AI will definitely cause you to lose your job. Because it's just human evolution. Technology is part of human evolution. It's not separate from us. So if I run a delivery company, if I am still adamant about using horse cart to deliver whatever I'm delivering, and I'm trying to compete with people who are zipping away in cars, I'm not going to get much further, right? I use one example here. In 1995, I logged into the internet for the first time in my life. And in 1998, I was applying for my first entry-level job. And in 3 years, the world had changed so much. If I didn't have an email address in 1998, I could not apply for an entry-level job. So that was the impact of the internet. And so imagine today, if you want to run a business without a website, without email, how far are you going to get, right? So the same thing applies for any job, any business. The second thing is, which is more like irrational fear that AI is going to destroy humanity. It's going to take over humanity and it's going to become sentient and it's going to take over. And that's the effect of like Hollywood movies and whatnot. But I ask people that there's only one species on this planet that organizes war against each other, and that's just humans. There's no other species on this planet who does that. So why do we think that as AI becomes more powerful, the first order of business it will have is to destroy another species? It doesn't make sense. The other thing is like human consciousness. We don't understand our own consciousness. Like there have been like thousands of prophets and a lot of learned people, philosophers and people who are trying to understand what is this human consciousness. And we haven't been able to define it. And how will that portray in an AI? Like somebody will need to be really, really good at defining human consciousness, come up with an algorithm, train AI to become conscious. It's just absurd. So those kind of things tell me, okay, you know, there's still a lot of education that needs to happen. But once you get over these two hurdles, then big things become easier because now they are bought in and they can take steps to implement this.
You talked about the human consciousness. Why do you think it's important that AI gets designed and trained by people who understand humans really well? Expand on that if you would.
Sure, sure. The thing is that so far, in every instance, every invention, every discovery, we have used technology to enhance our physical abilities. As I use the example of a car, it helps us go faster. A crane is going to help us lift heavier weights. An airplane will help us go from one point to another faster. All of these things. But never in our human history has there been an invention which enhanced our mind abilities, like intellectual abilities. So mind is a very complex thing. And if people who only think in one direction, like if I'm only thinking about engineering and how complex things can be built, I will build the technology to be very complex. I will really enjoy it. I will like it, but nobody else will. If I'm somebody who's always territorial, I will use this technology to, in the corporate sector, be very, very, how can I say, vicious to my competition, or focus on how can I weaponize this technology. All of these things come into play because we actually build what we think. It's a continuum, right? So if people are more aware of human consciousness, if people are more aware of other people's desires and wants and needs, that's the empathy factor that comes in. If we lose that empathy, then obviously that will reflect in what we produce in AI. And AI especially is so sensitive because it picks up on all that very, very quickly. Like the impact is immediate. So if you can try it out, like go to any social media website, TikTok or Facebook or whatever, just click on any one or two posts and immediately the algorithm will start to recognize, oh, you're interested in this. So it's going to start pushing you that, right? Mm-hmm. So that impact is immediate. So and that is why I think the true value of tomorrow will be more people who can sharpen their human side of things. Everything else will be taken care of by technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Manoj, we've had traditional AI or good old-fashioned AI for many, many years. And now we've got generative AI, the right-brained, creative flavor. Do you think Gen AI is going to make traditional AI better or more effective?
I think so. I mean, ideas build upon ideas, right? So traditional AI needed to be there to give rise to, you know, what we call Gen AI. And I don't think we are going to stop there. I think the future of AI is where human mind and this super intelligence start to fuse together. And how it will manifest, it's anybody's game. But I think we are seeing a lot of rise in AR, VR. And if we start to marry Gen AI with AR, we can perceive of a world where pretty much everything is possible and the differentiation between the real world and the virtual world starts to diminish, right? And so you can literally live a life on a Star Wars ship if that's what you choose to do, because generative AI coupled with all these other experiences will be able to generate such a sensory experience. I mean, our mind is as powerful as it is, it's kind of dumb as well. It doesn't know reality versus virtual reality. Mm-hmm. All it knows is how to interpret the stimulus, and machines will be able to produce that. So I think that's where we are going. It will not diminish the importance of AI, but the traditional AI will go into other areas of how to produce those results, those kinds of sensory outputs and whatnot. And so everything will work together just like a human's body works together. Each organ has a different function and it all comes together, right?
Yeah. All that sounds really great. As long as I don't have an Ethernet port in the back of my head.
Well, Elon Musk is working on that, right?
Diving into the business side of companies, organizations, which functions do you think are going to be completely transformed first by AI?
Well, I think, you know, it's the usual ones like customer service, I think, will be quite impacted. Where there are more human interactions, where there is more sort of uniformity needed, maybe a little bit more emotional intelligence is needed, those will be affected. Mm-hmm. Then comes the decision-making. I believe that in most organizations, decisions are made on gut feel. And that's why people with more experience of life, they are running the show. But in many cases, that gut feel may not be right. So we see that organizations who do extremely well, their decision-making is supplemented with data and analytics. And now with AI. So these kind of areas will be affected. And then of course, the mechanical parts like driving. I believe driving by humans will be illegal in maybe a couple of decades. These kind of areas will be affected quite a bit. But on the contrary, new areas that we haven't thought of will come up as new types of jobs. In my opinion, creative pursuits like music and painting and all that, I think that will become much, much more valuable, almost like in the Renaissance era, because most people will have that desire, that thirst to be more creative because, you know, the intellectual and repetitive work is done by machines.
Interesting. Manoj, how do companies get business leaders fully engaged, leading the AI revolution instead of deferring to the data scientist and the technologist, if you will?
I think the first step, again, is to understand the urgency, why this is urgent, and then just understand that there are two factors that drive humans, especially in the business sense, greed and fear. So these are negative emotions, but they are the powerful force that drive human entrepreneurship or drive to create something new. So I talk to those two emotions. Okay, so the greed part is that this is all public knowledge that AI is approximately going to add about $10 trillion in terms of revenue, new revenue in the next 6 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These are quotations by people like CEO of Google, CEO of IBM, and these people know a lot about what's happening. So imagine that $10 trillion in terms of revenue means at least $100 to $150 trillion in value in the next 6 years. Okay. So that is an opportunity which has never existed in entire history of humanity. I think more billionaires are going to be made in the next 6 years than any time in history. So that is one aspect. The second aspect is the fear, which is if you don't start to adopt AI, your competitor is going to adopt AI and they are going to become exponentially more productive, exponentially more attached to their customer, and their customers are going to become very fierce, loyal customers to them. And so the market is going to start shrinking very rapidly here. So the end result will be and this is, again, not my words. These are people like Elon Musk, Peter Diamandis, many others. They are foreseeing that if people don't adopt AI in the next 3, 4, 5 years, they are history. They're gone. It doesn't even matter. I mean, you can already see, right? Like Walmart has been a retail king for decades. Nobody could even like come close to Walmart, right? And Amazon took 15 years. And now Amazon is a bigger retailer than Walmart. And all because they adopted AI. Look at Tesla. Right. Tesla is maybe barely 20 years old, right? It's bigger than GM, Ford, Chrysler combined. Imagine that, right? So you're already seeing the impact of all this. And still, if people are not going to wake up, then they're going to have to pay the price.
Right. And Manoj, I believe you're of the opinion that it's not just going to transform businesses, but it's going to have a very positive societal impact in terms of making knowledge more accessible globally, regardless of background or income level or what country you're growing up in. Is that your opinion?
Yes, yes. I'm an optimist, so I think about the positive outcomes, not to say there won't be some negative outcomes as well. But I think by and large, again, I look at the long-term sort of evolution of humankind, and I look at very, very long-term time charts. So if we go back in history, every decade has been more peaceful on average globally. It has been producing more prosperity. More people are out of the grips of poverty. Even places like Africa, which have been traditionally not progressed as fast as the rest of the world, they are catching up. They are actually making huge progress. And that is the result of technology, internet, bringing everybody together and cross-pollinating ideas and exposing opportunities, which is everywhere, and having people to sort of work together to exploit those opportunities. So if people think along those lines, tremendous opportunity. If they don't think, or they get into this downward spiral of technology taking away their job, then that's the result they will also get.
Manoj, the younger generation that's coming out of college right now, I mean, I'm excited for that generation, but I'm also a little bit fearful for them because I believe a lot of the things they're still being taught and prepared to do are literally changing before their eyes.
Yes, yes, yes.
You think about professions like accounting, for example, many of the advisories that project what jobs are going to be out there 5-10 years from now, many of them don't even mention accounting. It's like it doesn't even exist. So what are your thoughts on just preparing the next generation of human workers? What needs to change to really make sure that we're not sending a bunch of people into the workforce that will be ill-equipped once they get there?
I think one of the things is we need to remove these boxes in which we put people in, because that is the product of industrial revolution. When industries started to come up, we as humans, we said, oh, we need somebody who understands how to fix machines. We need somebody who knows how to package stuff. We need somebody who knows how to keep track of stuff. And so all these professions started to grow and people started to specialize in them because you needed to go deeper and deeper and deeper into each one of these professions and become expert in that. But now with AI and all of that, you are able to explore many areas, or not just one area of commerce or business. Like if you're a doctor, you have the freedom now, not from the regulatory point of view, but you can incorporate like practices like yoga and Chinese medicine or Tai Chi or whatever into your practice. And that was not possible or feasible for a lot of people. So speaking about accounting, maybe it will not be a profession anymore, but still somebody will need to talk about their finances with somebody and say, hey, this is what I want to achieve in my life.
Sure.
These are my goals and how do I finance those goals? So it will maybe that job will not be just looking at your ledgers and your transactions, but understanding you as a human and your financial goals and then figuring out strategies that can get you there. And those strategies could overlap accounting, it could overlap law, it could overlap many, many other fields of study. So my advice is to now look at the world from multiple dimensions and remove those boxes and say, okay, I'm studying to be an accountant, I'm studying to be a lawyer, and say, okay, how can I now become a multifaceted individual who can really serve in the best way I can as an individual to the people I want to serve?
Really good advice. I like that. Okay, final topic for you. I'd like to talk about your podcast. It's called Bootstrapping Your Dreams. It's in the top 0.5% of all podcasts globally in terms of popularity. with over 300 episodes. I got to say, I'm pretty jealous sitting over here as a fellow podcaster. So Manoj, is there a particular episode you recorded that left a lasting impact on you that you can talk about with us?
Well, one conversation I had, and I have had tremendous conversations with leaders like yourself, many, many people, but I had opportunity to talk to General Petraeus. He's a general in U.S. Army, and he was in charge of Iraq War, Afghanistan War, and then later Obama appointed him as the director of CIA. So that conversation was just like, I cannot use words to explain it, but talking to somebody who has seen the world from that vantage point, seen every nation's good and bad, all the terrorism that happens in the world, all of that, and still be so humble, so approachable, so kind. It was just mind-boggling just having that conversation and understanding his life journey. That was very, very impactful.
Fantastic. Manoj, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you joining the podcast today. I think you're in a very interesting space in the market, in the company that you're in, but also just the impact you're having as a very influential authority on the AI topic. So it's been great just to hear your perspective. Thanks again for being here, and I wish you the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Transform Now, the podcast from SS&C Blue Prism. You can find all of our episodes on your favorite podcast channel, as well as YouTube. To stay on top of the hottest topics in the world of intelligent automation, subscribe now. The future of work is here.